I can use this platform every now and then to stir the pot. I will stir that pot.
So, 44 years old, dude. I run into people all the time and they say, how old is Jesse? Like 26, 27? I said, no, he only dates them.
I want to referee the Little League volleyball games. And I look in the audience amongst all these single moms and I'm like, hey, which one's yours?
So, point out your mom.
Point out your mom, yeah.
If I can use this platform to be funny, I will be funny. But if I can ever use this to encourage you, that's what I want to do. Don't turn me off yet. Don't turn this thing off, because I got a feeling that this episode of the Chad Brazier Show, there's going to be a lot of little bits and pieces that you can rewind, hit, and say, you know what? That's right. That's my life. And it may make your life a little bit better. Yo, what's up? The Chad Brazier Show. We're here. This is WCEP, Chad Brazier Radio. It's not, but that sounds pretty good. Doesn't it? I mean, it could be. Playing all your pop hits for the, we're not going to play pop music. Okay, guys, here's the thing I need you to do. First of all, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here, whether you're listening or watching. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I got a couple of things that I want to go over with you that I need you to do for me. First of all, ratings and reviews, we need that. I was disappointed for the first time. First time in a couple months, well, a few months, since the beginning of the year, actually, we somehow slipped out of the top 100 in our category of podcasts. Oh, that's okay. We'll get it back. Like, that changes within a day. But we slipped. It slips because of not getting the ratings, not getting the reviews, and their vanity rankings. It doesn't matter. The numbers at the end of the day is what matters. So I need you sharing the podcast. One of the coolest things you can do to help us out is to give us your email address so we can bombard you with spam. I'm kidding. But I do want to send out a newsletter every Friday. And if you'll go to thechadprathershow.com, thechadprathershow.com, and drop your email address, join the family, join the posse, join the parade, join the gang, and we will send you the newsletter, some behind-the-scenes footage, some info, some insight, things that are coming up. News you can use and then lose, but I promise you, you want to be a part of the family because that's where you get all the good stuff. So check it out, thechadprathershow.com. Drop your email address in there, join the newsletter, and we will send it out on Fridays. And we, you know what? We'll say an extra prayer for you, something like that. Hey, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. I want to get into some sound bites today. And when I say that, I'm going to give you the sound bites because we've been having a lot of guests. Long conversations. We're really kind of gearing this show more towards longer conversations. It's kind of hard for us right now to just do like headlines of the day since we tape these and they don't air on the same day. So we kind of have to make it evergreen. But I want you to get to know other people. You guys have been listening to my voice for a long time. But at the same time, occasionally I like to pull away and just talk to you a little bit and just kind of give you some stuff that's inspiring me, motivating me, things that I'm thinking about. I'm like you. I wrestle every day with stuff. I wrestle with what's going on in the world. I wrestle with getting older. I wrestle with having children. I wrestle with finances, you know, what decisions to make day in and day out. The people that are in your life, business decisions. What are you willing to risk? What are you willing to invest? What pushes you? What makes you pray? What drives you to your knees? What depresses you? What excites you? I want to talk to you about those things from time to time because, you know, we're all on this journey together, and it doesn't always have to be some kind of super political thing where we're just, you know, at each other's throats. Yeah, and that's not where we live. We talk about it. It's a hobby for a lot of us to talk politics and culture. But man, this is life, and you only get this little journey around this, you know, this little galaxy that we're living in. And you got to make the absolute most of it. And that's what we're trying to do. And sometimes it's hard to do it. And some of you are struggling. I know that because I know you and I know me. And sometimes you're struggling. So I like to try to give you some little motivational time. And I want to do that today. And that's why I say I want to give you some little sound bites, some little nuggets, some little things you can put in your pocket, hide away in your mind, take home with you, and maybe inspire you later on. Before we get into that, listen, guys, I want to remind you that emergencies happen all the time. They do. I don't know if you're prepared or not. I have a couple of spots around my home on my property where if an emergency happens, I know where to go. There are certain storage places. There are certain
closets. There are certain cabinets. Then they have the stuff that I need in there, and they're all geared for those certain things. Now, when the next emergency comes, you're not going to have a second to spare when you time to package and prepare. That's when it's too late. So I want you to get ready right now before the emergency strikes. And trust me, there's always one around the corner. So I want your supplies to be within reach, ready to grab and go at a moment's notice. You can secure the supplies you need at my special website, preparewithchad.com. There you're going to find the 4-week emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply. They have helped millions of American families prepare since 2008, and My Patriot Supply, they're the experts in all things self-reliance. And they're not always just about food. They got a lot of gear there as well. But their 4-week emergency food kits offer over 2,000 calories a day, and you need to get a kit for every member of your family. The food is protected by heavy-duty 4-layer packaging, and the kits can last up to 25 years in proper storage. Delicious food is sealed inside the rugged buckets with the handles, so all you got to do is reach in and grab them in a hurry. Go to preparewithchad.com. Get as many food kits as your family needs, and, you know, maybe you have favorite kids, but let's feed them all, okay? You'll get $50 off each kit right now. That's a great deal. They're going to ship fast. They're going to ship free. They're going to show up discreetly in unmarked boxes. And pretty good chance that if you buy it before 3 o'clock, it's going to ship the same day. Save $50 per kit at preparewithchad.com. That's preparewithchad.com. All right. Man, I'll tell you, Shiner, it's every now and then you have some hard weeks. You know, you just have some stuff that just doesn't always go that well. It doesn't always go your way. But I'll tell you, man, I'm excited because it doesn't have to be that way. You never know what's going to come with another day, brother. You never know what's going to come, right? Some days you wake up and everything can be going your way and you're just like still feel bad. Call it depression. Some people do deal with depression. I told you over and over again. I've dealt with that for years myself. I've done all the things, you know, talk to God, talk to your doctor, talk to your therapist, take your medication, do all the things you got to do. And I've had people say, well, just explain it to me. We want to help you. And I'm like, man, I wish I could explain it to you. But sometimes when those dark days hit, but I want to encourage you with this little story, okay? Regardless of what you're going through, I want you to make a decision. All right. I want you to make a decision to see people. I want you to see people. It's so easy to get caught up in our little devices, in our screens. We're so used to interpreting the world through a lens, through a screen, whether it's on a tablet or a phone or a television. I want you to stop long enough to see people, see the people around you. Because right now you can get lost in a crowd and they just become one big blur. Or maybe you're just sick of people's crap and you don't want to see them. You want to ignore them. You want to keep your head down, move through the world and not be bothered. But listen, there's a story that goes back a little ways. And I want to tell you this. The Golden Gate Bridge, San Francisco, California. There's been at least 2,000 people who have jumped off of the Golden Gate Bridge in an attempt to commit suicide. Of those 2,000, there's only 39 that are documented to have lived after taking that plunge. Only 39 out of 2,000. So it's a pretty sure death if you jump off that bridge. Well, there was a guy who left his apartment one day and he walked to the bridge. It was a couple of miles. He walked to the bridge. He walked up to the apex of the bridge. He jumped and committed suicide. He died. When the authorities went back to his apartment, they went through his stuff, trying to look for clues, see what they could find. They found a note, a handwritten note. It was a suicide note. And here's what he said. He said, "If on my walk to the bridge, one person will smile at me, I won't jump." I want you to let that sink in. If one person, any stranger out there, if one person will just smile at me, I won't jump. Not a single person did. Now, it's not that hard to see someone and to give them a smile. I've been encouraged by a stranger's smile. I've tried to encourage strangers with a smile. These days, you never know. I mean, these days in the age of everything from the Me Too movement to, you know, people being thin-skinned, offended by everything, and just taking everything the wrong way. You're kind of afraid to engage with people. And I say that deliberately, the way I said it, because I can remember one time I was at the famous outdoor mall out there in Hollywood, and this lady, you've heard me tell this story before, this lady was pushing a baby stroller as I was coming out of a department store, and I started to let the door drop. I saw her coming. This is Southern California, so, you know, I'm a Southern boy, Southern hospitality, the whole thing. I immediately reached back to grab the door to pull it open so she could push the baby stroller through it. And I immediately thought, uh-oh, she might be one of those, I don't need you mansplaining to me. I don't need you showing up with your toxic masculinity holding a door for me. And that shouldn't cross my mind, but it did cross my mind. And fortunately, she said thank you and went on in. So, you know, I was like, okay, just kind of dodged a bullet. But isn't it weird that we live in a world where just a simple gesture of kindness or generosity or hospitality makes you second guess yourself. So anyway, my point is, you might want to leave people alone. I know that's a temptation these days. But what I've found is there's certain traits, there's certain aspects, whether it's your personality or emotions or even the acts you do, which can be contagious, all right? There's certain things that spread. There's a good chance, these days it's a little different, but I'd say there's still about a 90% chance that if you smile at somebody, they'll smile back. Why? Because smiles are contagious. If you blast somebody, they're probably going to blast you back. You hit somebody, they're going to hit you back. Those are the type of things. But that's not the kind of stuff you want to spread around. And I'm not giving you some psychobabble mumbo jumbo. I'm just saying that a lot of times smiles are contagious. But you can't do that if you don't see people. If you don't see people, you can't offer something to them that maybe they need. Now, I know there's a lot of you who said maybe if the guy wasn't walking downtown San Francisco to the Golden Gate Bridge, where people can be pretty rude and pooping on the streets and all the other jokes, things we make about the stereotypes that are going on in San Francisco, he might have got that smile. And, you know, maybe you're right, because the cynic inside of me says that's probably true. But these days, that could happen anywhere. That kind of thing can happen anywhere. And so I'm telling you to see people. All right. Before I get into that, let me go one step further. All right. United Patriot Coin. I was on the phone with them yesterday, and I am so excited about the stuff that they're doing. United Patriot Coin, man, those are some solid guys. I've known them for years. Trey Bowe, all the boys over there. Let me tell you, Texas-based, Kansas-based company, both states represented their United Patriot Coin. And right now, they got a cool deal with their Patriot Pack discount offer. So this is pretty neat. So the price of gold's at an almost near high. It's a good time to get in on it because it came down a little bit. So it's a good time to buy it before it runs again. It's going to see a major wave of growth. There's a lot of people out there thinking the U.S. dollar is going to be a problem. We've seen the hyperinflation before. We know what happens with that. It could happen again right here in our country. Listen, if that were to happen, it's possible that we may return to an economy of gold and silver. I was just talking the other day with somebody about, you know, EMPs going off and things like that. It's crazy the scenarios we can come up with. Your dollar bills could be rendered worthless and with far less crisis than that. So United Patriot Coin, they got the gold and silver Patriot Pack. It's got the pre-made bundle of the small size silver and gold pieces. Perfect way to start building up your stack of precious metals. It's a cool collection, and it's just a great way to barter and exchange. And it can also serve as a long-term store of value that's more inflation-proof than the U.S. dollar. So you're going to get a little bit of silver. You're going to get a little bit of, you get the silver bars. You're going to get the buffalo rounds. You're going to get a little gold bar, 1 gram bar. Get a cloth bag to keep it all together. It's really cool, man. And they've created a special discount for our audience. You get 10% off your first gold and silver Patriot Pack by using promo code CHAD10. And since each piece has a relatively small value compared to standard units like a kilo of silver or an ounce of gold, the Patriot Pack is basically a wallet full of small bills you can use a little bit at a time without having to, you know, tap into your main stockpile. It's a great way to get started in precious metals. They can also help you over there at United Patriot Coin build a real portfolio of gold and silver customized to your needs, whether it's for short-term barter and trade or long-term asset protection and growth. They can help you invest in physical precious metals through an IRA rollover account, but go and visit with them. Shop online, unitedpatriotcoin.com, or call them in Texas, 844-202-7834, United Patriot Coin.com. All right. Now, let's get serious for a second. John Mason wrote this book, Imitation is Limitation, and it's fantastic, dude. And one of the things I've got bookmarked here, I always keep my little field notes, notebooks with me all the time. People always say, Chad, you know, you're always writing in these little notebooks, or you're making a jotting a little note in your phone. What are you doing? I keep these field notes notebooks with me all the time, guys. And I'm telling you, I've got boxes of these things. I've got boxes of notebooks that I go back and refer to, and I've had them for 35 years. You always need to be writing stuff down, because let me tell you something, the dullest pencil is still better than the sharpest mind. When you write something down, it doesn't go away. You've got it, and then it's up to you to keep up with it. So you need to hold on to things, because how many times, I can't tell you how many times I'm out having a cocktail with a friend and some profound thought crosses my mind, and I'm like, of course I'll remember that. It's so profound, how can you forget it? Then you wake up the next day and you're like, damn it, what was I thinking? And I didn't do it. So even if it's the most random thought, guys, sleep next to this thing. Put your stuff in there, dude. Put your stuff in there. Because your brain, let me tell you, yeah, it ain't what it used to be, okay? And as you get older, it's going to diminish even more. People, here's the thing. You know, when we talk about that guy jumping off that bridge, we talk about 2,000 people jumping off the bridge. You know, a lot of people see themselves as a failure. I don't see you, I don't see myself as a failure. I'm tempted to sometimes. And let me tell you something, there is no physical, tangible reason in my life for me to look at myself and think I'm a failure. There's just none. I have fun in life. I do exactly what I want to do. I'm blessed. I have some great friends. I have great resources, great influence. It's fantastic. It's humbling. It's humbling. But to look at me and go, well, you're a failure. I see the people, the re-rees online that want to say, well, who are you? You're a nobody. You're a has-been. You had 15 minutes of fame, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know that I had 15 minutes of fame. That's okay. I've never been looking for fame. I don't think people were created for fame in the first place. So if you're out there seeking fame, you're seeking something that's not sustainable anyway. Nobody should want to be famous. Your body, God didn't create you to live with that type of pressure of having eyeballs on you all the time. So forget about all that stuff. Fame doesn't make you successful. Money doesn't make you successful. It might make things a lot more comfortable for a little while, but boy, it brings a whole lot of other problems with it too. Let me tell you, the issue is not that people fail. The issue is that people quit trying. And I want you to let that sink in. You got to make yourself so valuable to the people around you that they will seek to pull your potential out. Now, what do I mean by that? There's an old story. It's one of those old preaching stories that's kind of stupid. But two guys get shipwrecked on a deserted island. And one guy, he's panicking, man. He's losing his mind. He's dragging his foot through the beach, drawing out a big SOS so the planes can see it when they come by. He's setting fires. He's burning trees, the whole thing. He's, trying to wave something down, looking on the horizon to see if a ship is coming. The other guy, well, he just kicked back under a coconut tree, just hanging out, enjoying the sun, catching some rays and taking in some vitamin D. And guy number one, who's in a pure panic, he goes, dude, why aren't you worried? Why aren't you worried about anything? And the guy goes, sitting under the tree. He takes a deep breath. He says, man, I make $100,000 a week. I'm not worried about anything. And guy number one says, who cares how much money you make out here? He goes, bro, I make $100,000 a week. I tithe 10% to my church. Trust me, my pastor will find me. So the point being is, if you offer something, if you're valuable enough, people will come to you and find you and pull the potential out of you. They won't let that just go to waste. Okay. So you need to look around and you need to say, okay, how much value am I adding to other people's lives? Because I contend that the more value you add to the people around you, to your community, to your people, to your family, all of those kind of things, they will come to you. They will sit at your feet. They will want to hear what you have to say. They will want to hear your words. Because you got something that they want. You got something that they need. And I don't believe that you can fail or even quit if you'll focus on something like that. The people around you need you. There's a potential. There's something potential inside of you. It may not be kinetic yet. It may not be in motion, but it is resting, residing inside of you. You know, the Bible says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. Boy, that's something to meditate on.
Eternity has no beginning. It has no end. It is expansive. It's always moving larger and larger. It's almost transcendent, if you'll think about it. I mean, the only thing bigger than eternity is God himself who created it. And so you look at that, you say, God put that in my heart, which means I can imagine the unimaginable. I can think the unthinkable. I can do the unspeakable. I can accomplish the impossible. If you're doing those things and people see that, and you believe that, then people will pursue you. They're going to pursue you. So never give up on yourself. You know, you want the, I'm going to give you just this thought out of this book, because God, John Mason says it so well. He says, the man of the hour spent many days and nights getting there. I've had people over the years who have said, well, you know, I've been on radio stations, TV programs, because we, you know, a lot of times we used to go into the cities to do these big shows, and they always wanted you to come on morning radio, or they always wanted you to come into the TV studio for the local affiliates or whatever. And every time, man, I would have these people who would say, well, you're just an overnight success. You were just an overnight success. Look at you, man. You sat in your truck one day and you did a video and suddenly everybody knew who you were. And I'm like, you know, my overnight success was probably the longest night of my life, because it takes a lot of years, a lot of effort to be an overnight success, a lot of work, a lot of discipline, a lot of risk, a lot of passion, a lot of vision. You know, people, you can go out there, and I've had people who say, man, you get on a stage and you make it look so easy. Sarah Gonzalez, I was just talking to her the other day. And Sarah was going out to West Texas to speak to a group of people. And it was a big group of people. And I said, what are you going to say? Because we always, that's kind of our inside joke. We're going to speak to a group. Well, what are you going to say? And because I don't worry about her and she doesn't worry about me, we've always got something to say. And she says, I'm doing this one Chad Prather style, which means she was totally unprepared. She was going to wait till she got in front of the audience to see what that audience was kind of pulling out of her. Because that's the way I operate. I try to always be prepared. When I went to seminary, our John Miller, who was our seminary president at the time, I went to a church conference one time, and I watched him for 2 hours speak. And for 2 hours, he quoted the scripture, or he would grab his Bible and he would go to some of the most obscure passages. He had no notes in front of him. And it was one of the most eloquent, one of the most disciplined, one of the most scholarly dissertations, messages that I've ever heard in my life. And afterwards, a friend of mine who was there asked him, he said, you did that without notes. And he said, so profound to me. He goes, this is what I do. He pointed to his Bible. He said, and this is the tool I use. This is who I am, what I do, and this is the tool that I use. And what he was saying was, if I don't know how to use this tool, if I need a guide to help me use my tool, I'm not an expert. I'm not proficient in it. He said, basically what he was saying is, I've disciplined myself to learn this book for so many years that I should know it. I'm proficient in it. See, that's the thing. If you know what you know and who you are and what it is that you're on this earth to do, you don't need a quick start guide every time. So for me, when I get up in front of people, I look at the audience. I look at their faces. I'm listening to them. I'm watching what it is that they, what's moving them, what's motivating them, what's making them smile, what's turning them off, what's causing them to lose attention. And I try to take them in a certain direction and guide them through it. But I've prepared myself for so many years to be in front of people that it ultimately looks effortless. Sarah Gonzalez has that same gift. She makes it look effortless when she gets on a stage in front of people. Now, my point with all of that is, when you have done all of the discipline, then when you get up and it's time to deliver, it looks spontaneous. It looks like you just, you know, you ever been around a band? You ever been around a live music group and all of a sudden they just start jamming? And it's like, wow, man, these guys, like, I didn't know this band could play this song. Like, they're covering a song and they're like, dadgum, dude. And they're like, well, we've never played that together before. Wow, how did y'all do that? Well, because we've practiced together for so many hours and so many years that our practice made spontaneity look easy. I mean, I've always said, to be spontaneous takes a lot of practice.
It does. That's why these guys can go out on a baseball field or a football field and they can do these amazing acrobatic type things that you and I can't do. Or we pull a hamstring or throw our back out trying to do them. And they do it effortlessly because they've done it with repetition over and over again. So what I'm saying is when you decide what it is that you need to be doing, don't give up on it. Keep on going, man. Keep on doing it. Hey guys, the world may be going down in flames, but it's not going to get me down. It's not going to depress me. Nope, absolutely not. It may be a complete disaster out there with all these Bidenomics and all the crazy stuff happening in our world, but it's not going to ruin my day. You know why? Because I started my day with a really good dark cup of coffee and it was delicious. It is an America First cup of coffee from Blackout Coffee. Man, I'm so proud to partner with these guys. Their coffee is 100% American, 0% grift. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. They source the beans, the roasting process, the customer support and shipping. Everything they do embodies the true American spirit, the hardworking values, and they accept no compromise on taste or quality. I'm telling you something. When you see this cup sitting on this table, it is filled with Blackout Coffee. I love it so much. And maybe drinking too much of it, we'll see, but it's delicious. Listen, I want you to support small businesses across the country that have the same values you do, and Blackout Coffee is one of those companies. So I want you to check them out and see what you think. Listen, not only are they American First, they're family owned. So I want you to go to blackoutcoffee.com/Chad, and right now if you use promo code CHAD, I spell it Chad, you're going to get 20% off your first order. That's blackoutcoffee.com/Chad. Use promo code Chad. One more time, blackoutcoffee.com/Chad. Use that promo code, Chad. And that's the thing. You're not an overnight success. You've been preparing for this for years. So here's a quote. In the confrontation between the stream and the rock, the stream always wins. Not through strength, but through perseverance. Look at the Grand Canyon. Look at the Grand Canyon. Yeah, those big rocks, those big cliffs, they look mighty, they look strong, they look immovable. And look at the little Colorado River that runs around at the bottom of it. Something major happened there, but it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight. It took a minute. So Christopher Morley said, big shots are only little shots that kept on shooting. I love that, Shy. Big shots are little shots that kept on shooting. That's why I tell people all the time, man, when it's time to go, shoot your wad, baby. Let her rip. Let her rock and roll. Because that's the thing. You stay in it long enough, and your persistence persistence is simply enjoying the distance between the birth and the fulfillment of your dreams, and overnight success takes years. I love that, dude. It takes strong wills, not strong wants. I've said for years, and I can't remember where I got this quote, but I said, some people have over the years, as I've said this and written this, people have taken it the wrong way because they're not listening to what I'm saying. But how many visions, how many dreams have been miscarried or aborted because doubt was invited into the delivery room? You see, you get a dream so big or a vision so big or just a day to day, like I need to get this done today. And you're like, I'll put it off till tomorrow. Procrastination is just hidden doubt. That's all it is. It's basically saying, I don't care enough about this to get it done today. And if I did it today, I probably wouldn't do it well. So the doubt creeps in your mind and you say, I'll just do it tomorrow. How many times have your visions, your dreams, your responsibilities been aborted simply because at the end of the day, you invited doubt into the delivery room? That's a powerful thing. Doubt is a powerful thing. And boy, we spend a lot of time. I get online. It frustrates me, man. I see people all the time who say, I can't do that. I can't afford that. I can't be there. You know, I had somebody in my life for a number of years and they had the worst poverty mentality, poverty spirit. And I heard them all the time saying, I can't afford that. I can't afford that. And I was like, you know, maybe you can't afford that. Maybe in reality you can't, but man, you really got to stop saying it. You have really got to stop telling the world you can't afford something. You know, I'm the world's worst about talking about my weight. I'll stand around like, God, I feel so fat. You know, CJ will tell me all the time. She's like, you're not fat. Other people in my life, you know, people that travel with me, people that work with me, they're like, stop it. You're not fat. You're not fat. And I'm like, well, I am for me. And they're like, just stop saying it, stupid. And it's like, it's true. Because just because you say it doesn't change reality. But I do believe that when you profess something, you will rise to pursue it. I don't believe in whole, you know, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, confess it, possess it, but I do believe you will rise to pursue your confession. The things that you're putting out there, if you're always sick, if you're a hypochondriac, if you got a, you know, if you got a fast pass at the ER because you go in there every time you get a headache or an ingrown toenail, you know what's probably going to happen? You're talking your body into being rebellious against the way God designed it to be. Now, that's not some hocus pocus voodoo stuff. I'm just saying that is the law, man. That's the way it goes. You keep putting a pattern out there, and eventually that's the way it's going to flow. That's simply the way it's going to flow. So stay persistent in positivity. Stay persistent in positivity. I want you guys to wake up every day. CJ tells me all the time, and it just absolutely pisses me off, Shy. CJ tells me all the time, she says, when you get out of bed in the morning, say 20 good things about yourself and your life. And I'm like, no, I refuse to do it. I'm not going to do it. Why not? Why not? Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you do that? Now, I'm not talking about some kind of, you know, humanism crap that they did the turn of the 19th century or the turn of the 20th century where, you know, prior to World War I, the habit of the day was for people to look in the mirror and 20 times say, in every day, in every way, I'm getting better. And then World War I came and exposed man's inhumanity to man all over again. And that whole humanist philosophy went down the toilet. I'm not telling you to do that. But I am telling you to be a little more optimistic and see the glass half full, at least. Stop being such a cynic or a skeptic that, you know, you're tired of being disappointed and you're like, well, this is going to go wrong too. I was literally thinking about that this morning. God, I hate myself sometimes, Shy. I hate myself. See me? See, that's what I'm saying, dude. This is another one of those things I'm saying that I shouldn't be saying. Sometimes you hate yourself. But you say these things and you're like, you know, somebody sent me a script. You know, I've done the movie thing. I've done the TV thing. I've done the music thing, the radio thing. I've done all these different things. And somebody sent me a movie script and they were like, Chad, we want you to be in this movie. We're working on funding. We're working on production. We want you to be a part of that. And I was like, ah, they'll probably never get the funding. You know, I've been there where they couldn't get the distribution or the production or whatever. I've done these things. And I'm like, they probably won't even get it. Where did that thought come from? Where did the thought come from in me that says, you know what, I'm going to quit before I ever begin, before the opportunity ever shows its head? You don't know. Somebody might pour $10 million into that project tomorrow. I don't know. But man, wasn't it cool that they thought of me? Wasn't it cool that they invited me? They said, you know what, I think you'd be perfect for this role. And I'm like, I can play a blathering idiot. I could be like Ben Stiller's character in Tropic Thunder. I'd be like, I know me. Never gonna fool retard. Ah, I don't know, man. I just one of those guys where I look at things sometimes and I'm like, it probably won't ever happen. I'm just being real with you. Just being real with you. You guys, listen to me. I don't care how old you are. You still got to have that stick-to-itiveness, that persistence, so that one day somebody says, wow, that, you know, are you seeing, Shire, are you seeing Pookie and Jet at all on TikTok? Okay, so when Pookie and Jet first popped on the scene, I was seeing their videos in the middle of the night. This was a while back. This was like 6 months ago. And I was like, who are these weird people, man? And like this is interesting. And so CJ and I did a spoof video months ago on Pookie and Jet, and nobody knew what we were talking about. They thought we were coming up with the concept of doing the, you know, what you're wearing videos and things like that. Now they're hanging out with Selena Gomez. They were talked about on Jimmy Fallon. They got all these big celebrities hanging out with them. I'm like, 6 months ago, nobody knew who Pookie and Jet were, and they came up with a silly idea. This guy who, you know, kind of weird, kind of light in the loafers, go dogs. He was supposedly the valedictorian, University of Georgia. And he's kind of weird. And he just brags on his wife and what she's wearing. And obviously he's got a huge bankroll because she's wearing like a 400-carat diamond on her left hand. Hey, more power to him. More power to him. And I'm not telling you to go out there and be Pookie and Jet. But you never know what the day's going to bring. I guarantee you, a year ago, they weren't sitting around going, hey, they're going to be talking about us on Jimmy Fallon in a year because of some silly video we made. I don't care where you're at. Just do you. And if somebody asked me, they stopped me at the airport in Florida when we were leaving, coming back from West Palm Beach after being in Mar-a-Lago. And young man, he stopped me. He said, "Are you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Dude, I've wanted to meet you." He goes, "Do you mind?" He goes, when I meet people like you, I always ask them what you feel like is a step to success, not a secret to success necessarily, but what do you think makes the difference to you?" And I said, "For me, it's authenticity. Be genuine. Be who you are, because that translates so much better than trying to be something else." And again, that's the title of this book, you know, Imitation is Limitation. I truly believe that. The biggest compliment that I've gotten over the years is people said, you know, "With Chad, what you see is what you get." Now, you get on Twitter and I'll make a political post or make a political joke or something like that, and you see the re-reads that come out and they go crazy and they just want to roast everything and I'm the biggest idiot in the world and I'm a horrible human being. Fine, let strangers say that. Nobody that knows me personally says that, though. People who know me personally don't say that about me. Nobody accuses me of being the things that strangers online accuse me of being. So you got to put that stuff in perspective. You be who you are, and then you stick with that, because there's a place for you. So I've told people forever this example, and I want to leave it with you, okay? See how we're doing on time. I got to check it out. We're okay. I'm rolling, baby. I'm rolling. So if you go to 1 Peter 2:9, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the Apostle Peter says that you are God's chosen people, talking to the church. He says, you're the chosen people. You're a peculiar people. You're a set apart people. He said, you're the ones that are called to proclaim the praises of him who called you by his glorious name, called you out of darkness into light. He says, you proclaim the praises of him who set you apart. And basically saying you were created to make a certain sound that nobody else is making. Okay. You're a peculiar people. Now, to the Jewish reader in that day, they would probably hearken back to the Old Testament Levitical law about how God took the 12 tribes of Israel and he set the tribe of Levi aside because they were under the lineage of Aaron, who was, of course, Moses' brother. And he took this tribe of Levi and he set them apart and said, these are the people who are going to serve me. So you were literally born into your occupation if you were of the family of Levi. So the Levites were the priests. They were the ones who took care of the tabernacle and then ultimately took care of the temple. They were the ones who coordinated the sacrificial system. They coordinated the worship time before God. They were the priests. And so the worship Levites, the ones who played instruments, for instance, who played in the tabernacle, when they were born, as they got older, they were trained to play an instrument to the point where they had to know the instrument backwards and forwards. They needed to know how that instrument performed everything. They needed to know the soul of the instrument because they had to basically become one with it. They became masters of the instrument they played. The psalmist, when it talks about David talks about whenever he would play before the Lord, there were certain sounds he wanted to make that he couldn't make because an instrument had not been created. So David literally created musical instruments to make a sound that wasn't in the earth, okay? So these men would play before God. And if you think about him saying, you are a royal priesthood, and I left that out earlier, but that's in that verse in Peter, where he says, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own chosen people, his peculiar people. When he says you're a royal priesthood, that calls back basically saying you are someone who's been called to make a sound of worship before God. You were literally created to make a sound. And like David of old, God looked in the earth and said, I want to make a sound in the earth. And I don't have an instrument to play to make that sound. So God created you. He created you to make that sound. And that sound is the only one, you're the only one who can make it. Now, you might play some minor chords. You might miss a beat every now and then. You might not put your fingers in all the right places. You might be a little off in your rhythm. Your time might be a little slow. But God created you to master that sound, and you're the only one who can make it. And the only way, Shy, you're a master guitar player. Shy's, y'all don't know this about Shy. Shy's a stud. He don't know no country music, but that's okay. He's a jam. I'm telling you, this dude's astounding on a guitar. But he didn't learn that like that. He didn't learn it overnight. I got a good friend of mine who's a great guitar player. His son was learning how to play guitar. He said, you know how to tell a kid, you know how to teach a kid guitar? Put it in the room and say, you can't touch that. He'll go over there and touch it. Trust me. He'll find reasons to go over there and touch that guitar and practice. But it takes years. For some, it comes more naturally than others. I have people all the time who said, man, you know, my mother's a fantastic piano player. And one of the best I've ever heard in my life. Love you, Mom. And my mother, I miss her piano playing on Sunday mornings as before church, you know. And music filled our house. And I've had people who would say to me, I wish I could play the piano like your mom. And I say, no, you don't. And they go, oh, no, we do, we do. We wish we could play the piano just like your mom. And I'm like, you don't want that. And they go, but we do. And I said, if you really wanted it, you would have done it. You would have practiced it. Have you ever started? Have you ever taken a lesson? Have you ever even put your finger on the keys to figure anything out? You didn't want it. Now, I know that's an expression, but don't say you want something if you're not willing to start something and then be persistent enough to carry it out. See, that's where what happens in life, this phenomenon known as failure happens. You fail to find your voice. You fail to find yourself. You fail to find your rhythm. And that's why there's a tattoo right here on my arm. There's not a tattoo on my body that doesn't have a very significant meaning. There's a tattoo. Those of you who know me know about this. It says Rhythm of Life right here. It's the bottom of a guitar with wings on it. It says Rhythm of Life because I believe you got to find that rhythm. You want to be successful in life, you got to find rhythm. God created you for rhythm. God put rhythm in the earth. God put rhythm in the human body. God put rhythm. You want to feel horrible? My blood pressure dropped, and my heartbeat got a little weird last weekend. I felt terrible. I felt terrible for a few hours. You know why? Because the rhythm was off. You want life to go right, find rhythm. Get in the right direction. Get in order. Do those things, and I promise you, it'll make all the difference in the world. Money will come your way. Success will come your way. More people will smile. You know why? Because you'll find yourself smiling at them. God didn't create you to be sad. God didn't create, he created you to be resilient. Don't get me wrong. And to go through some hard times. God taught you, he's teaching you how to deal with anxiousness and worry, and because he's going to build some good things out of that. Because as God disciplines you and as he trains you, there's going to be some fruit that comes from that. That you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. Nobody learns anything in the sweet, peaceful, harmonious, good times. Nobody learns anything in those moments. It takes some adversity. No pain, no gain. And it takes some time. I wish I could snap my fingers and be in as good a shape as I was when I was, 22 or even 32 years old. I think I was in better shape at 32 than I was as an athlete at 22. I think I was in better shape. I wish I could snap my fingers and just overnight just go, boom, there I was, right back to it. But, I didn't get to that overnight. I didn't get to that overnight. It takes time. It takes effort and persistence. So those of you that want to quit, let me remind you what I said earlier. Don't be a person of strong will, not a person of strong wants. So many people who quote fail, they have no idea how close they were to the success they were pursuing when they quit, when they stopped. You just absolutely never know. You can hit a ball off the wall in the deepest part of center field, and they can toss that thing around, and you can keep on running. But if you don't go home, if you stop at third base, and you just quit running when you know you could, because maybe it's going to be a close play, and you just give up on it, you're never going to score the run. I mean, that's the same as striking out. Basically, it's the same as striking out. So. Persistence is proof that you haven't been defeated. You have no right to anything you have not pursued. The proof of desire is in the pursuit. Life holds no greater wealth than that of a steadfast commitment. You cannot be robbed of it. You can lose it only by your own will. A young man once asked a great, famous older man, "How can I make a name for myself in the world and become successful?" The great and famous man said, "You have only to decide what it is you want, and then stay with it, never deviating from your course, no matter how long it takes or how rough the road, until you've accomplished it." That's an interesting concept. Success is all about holding on when everybody else has let go. I've lived that life. I have lived that life. I mean, I've been there. You can go back and watch some of the truck videos I used to do, or You know, everybody's like, oh, man, you're so blessed. You got all these things going for you in your life. I didn't feel blessed, Shy, when I had $7.56 in my bank account on Tuesday and I had to get to the following week. You know, I mean, I didn't feel blessed. I've gone through some things, man. I've been through loss. I've been through pain, trial. I've been through illness. I've been, you know, they've had to open me up and cut parts of me out. I've had so many different stuff, so many different things that I've had to go through. And there have been times, golly, man, there have been times I want to quit. There's been times CJ's wanted to kill me. There's been times other people have been just so frustrated with me because I get frustrated. And, Eli Whitney, they laughed at him when he came out with the cotton gin. Thomas Edison, he had to install his electric light free of charge in an office building before anyone would even look at it. The first sewing machine was smashed to pieces by a Boston mob. People scoffed at the idea of railroads. People thought that traveling 30 miles an hour in an automobile would stop the circulation of the blood. Samuel Morse had to plead before 10 Congresses before they would even look at his telegraph. I was talking to Sarah Gonzalez the other day. She had Dr. Wakefield on her program. And, you know, a lot of people, because he's come out talking about vaccines and things like that, for her, he's a personal hero. And had him on the show. And, a lot of people push back and says, oh, he's a quack. You know, if you read Wikipedia, he's all these different things. And I texted her. I said, what I want you to ask him is, what does it feel like to be like Socrates or Galileo? You know, Galileo came out for the first time and said that we are a heliocentric planet. We're not, you know, they believed, you know, the church in the time believed that the earth was the center of the universe and everything revolved around it. And Galileo came out and said, no, that's not true. The sun is the center of our solar system and we're revolving around it. And they labeled him a heretic. They castigate him, cast him out, shunned him. I mean, he was 100%. They try to discredit and disclaim everything that he ever tried to do. Socrates was considered a heretic to the point where he drank his own poison because they were putting him to death with poison. He drank the hemlock himself and because he was a heretic, because his philosophies went against the ideas of the day. So for those of you out there who continue to speak out and begin to talk out, and you want to get, you want to quit because you're tired of the naysayers and the critics pushing back against you. Don't quit. Don't stop. God's put eternity in your heart. You were created to make a sound that no one on this planet now or ever is able to make except for you. So I want you to hold on and withstand and persevere, okay? Because this is the time that we need you. We need you in this thing. So be contagious. Put the wisdom out there. Put the common sense out there. Put the smiles out there. And as I said, learn to see other people. Because there's people who need you to stay in this game. There's people who need you to be encouragers and to be fighters and warriors and accomplishers and people who get this stuff done. Okay? Now, that's all I'm going to say to you about all that. That's a preach right there. I'm going to tell you. I said I wasn't going to preach, but I preach a little bit. Whatever. Whatever. So he just said, amen. Gave me a little amen. Little amen, preacher. Preacher. I love you guys. I do. PrayTherTees.com. Head over there. We got a promo code right now, Chad15. If you put it in there, you get 15% off. We got to get rid of this inventory, man, because I got some new stuff coming. I got to make room. PrayTherTees.com. And then, of course, find me out on the road. WatchChad.com for all the fun stuff is. Go out there and get you some of these field note notebooks. Write them down. Get you a big notebook. I don't care what you use. The older I get, my eyesight's worse, and I've moved to some bigger notebooks. But I can show you. Shy can take you right now to my boxes of notebooks. It's insane. I pulled out a box the other day, and I mean big boxes like this, big ones, you know. And CJ goes, I've never taken a note in my life. And I'm like, I write down stuff. And some people call it journaling. I've done that. I can still pull out journals. I don't really think of it as journaling. It's just these are my thoughts, and I try to put them out there. And I don't know. Maybe I should put them in a book or something one day. It's incredible. No telling how many million-dollar ideas are still hidden away, squirreled away in a notebook that I haven't pulled out. Hey, United Patriot Coin, United Patriot Supply, make sure that you're supporting them. And please do what I ask you to do. Leave us a rating and review. It sure helps me a lot. And if you'll drop your email address, thechadpraithershow.com. Make sure you check your spam folder, too. Sometimes when you send out a lot of emails, they'll try to trick you, and they'll send it over into the spam folder, even though you requested to receive it. Go over there and get it, all right? Just search Chad Prather Show and see what pops up, because you might be missing some good information out there, some fun stuff. I mean, I'm not sending you any nudes or anything like that. Trust me, I quit that a long time ago. That's one thing I didn't persevere with. I've seen myself naked and shy. Nobody wants to see that. It's not good. Oh, boy, howdy. For Shy and for Mission Studios, I sure appreciate y'all. And I'm so thankful for you, man. Hang in there. Be contagious. See other people. That's not advice to you husbands, okay? That's not what I mean. I mean, see the people around you. Okay, not naked. See them, smile at them, be courteous, be contagious, be generous, be gracious, and I think you'll make a difference. Find that rhythm of life, folks. I love you. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time.
Hey, bro, are we rolling? Cool, man. What's up, Liam? I just wanted to step in here and chat with you a little bit about how cool it is living in California, man. Yeah, cost of living through the roof, but that's okay when you're homeless and you don't have a mortgage. Listen, some people call it camping out. We live in our little tent cities. You don't like them, just walk around, and you know what? The plumbing always works, especially when you take a shit right out there in the street. Look, dude, you can complain all you want about, you know, Gavin Newsom being the governor of the state, but bro, you ain't never gonna be outlawing no baby killing around here, dude. You get knocked up, bam, you go ahead and take care of that thing same day, bro. Just say you got some cataracts, get high, roll down to Venice, and you'll be rocking and rolling. And what other place could you come out of the surf and see a sexy stud lady like Nancy Pelosi, 83 years old, fresh silicone knockers, bam, snuggly soft, man. That's an old lady I want to see naked. I don't care if you got to pull your skirt up to show me the tips of the nipples at the knees, man. And you know what? Her surgeon's got to be a badass, and I'd love to see if those nipples are in the right spot, because I've seen where her eyebrows are, and they're a little bit off, but you know what? Still a sexy babe. So listen, guys, if you want to come down to California, you don't need a whole lot, man. Just come down here and live with me on the beach, bro, and let's do some killer bud and have a good time. You know what? Just holler at your boy, say, yo, make a delivery, little Papa Green homegrown Hawaiian, and you know what? Those taxes can soar through the roof, because just like us, we're high as a kite, baby. This is Liam. Yo, hey, peace. I'm out, baby.